So thankful for your presence this evening, particularly on behalf of the Pleasant View congregation. Outstanding singing this evening. Thankful for Stephen being here. Stephen has led singing and worked with young people his whole life. With the Madison Church, and then worked with Jackson Park for several years and helping them in all sorts of ways. And it was at Jolton for many years, leading their singing and helping in with a lot of the youth programs. And has just started work with the Bellevue congregation a lot of weeks ago. So we're thankful that he's with us this week and sharing his talents with us and helping us in our worship service, something so vital to this week and so inspiring, the singing and that part of our worship together is so important. We're thankful for it. We're also thankful this evening that we can have Brother Mike McPherson with us. Mike has spoken for us at Pleasant View twice over the last year or so. Came on a vacation Bible school night, and I said, you've got to come back on Sunday morning and give the exact same lesson. And so he was generous enough with his time to come back to Pleasant View to do that. And so when it came time to think about somebody for this week, his name came to mind almost instantly for me. Mike's been coaching basketball, teaching Bible in high school for 38 years at Middle Tennessee Christian. He's a Harding Lipscomb, now Nashville Christian, where he currently teaches. He was a part-time, as they call it, youth minister for 28 years. But I don't know that you're ever part-time in that role. He's now working with the Winston Chapel congregation. In Brentwood, his wife Lisa, for 36 years, was his wife. She passed away last summer with ALS. They have two sons and two grandchildren. Besides basketball, he enjoys Tennessee football, and he says here when they win. I won't.
Just move on.
It's too many jokes. American history, Bible, archaeology, but most of all playing with his grandkids. We talked the last couple months at Pleasant View about what this week would be about. Gospel meetings nowadays are a little different than they used to be for a lot of reasons. It's so important for Christians now to continue to be Christians in our culture. One of the things that pushes Christians toward the world is when they face trials and temptations. And no matter how old you are, you're going to face trials and temptations, and some of them will take you to your knees, and you will question your relationship with the Lord, how much He loves you, how much your faith means, and what you've done as a Christian. All those types of thoughts come in your mind. And thinking about this week, that we said that this week was going to be about maintaining your faith when. And Mike's going to talk this week about some things he's had experience in firsthand. Particular situations that some of you may never face to the extent that Mike faced them, but you'll face a version of them in some way. Somebody you love is going to get sick, and you're going to feel quite helpless in what to do for them. You will face an illness of some kind, and you're going to wonder what to do about that. Mike's dealt with both of those things. This is not a week to be sad. It's not a week to tug at you with some sort of emotional gimmick, intentionally trying to make you feel sad or sorry for Mike. I don't feel sorry for Mike at all. Mike's a great inspiration to me, the people who hear him speak. This is to help you grow in your faith and to hear somebody talk about some things that he confronted and ways he dealt with those things that are good, and maybe some things that he said maybe to avoid. This is to inspire us to be better Christians, have greater faith. And so we're very thankful for Mike's being here this week, tonight, tomorrow night, being here at 7 o'clock, and then we'll meet at Pleasant View at 7 on Tuesday and Wednesday. Before Mike speaks to us, let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we are thankful for this evening. We're thankful for every person in this room, for their faith, for the encouragement they give one another. We're thankful for their commitment to the Lord. But we also know that in this room are many trials and things that people are going through that are difficult, and we know that you know each person. You know their heart, you know their mind, you know what they need, and we pray that your will be done in all things. We know that this life is not easy, and your Son faced every challenge this life has to offer. He was injured physically. He grieved at the tomb of a friend. He saw friends betray him. And we know that we have someone who is tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. We pray that this week be of great benefit to us as we can learn from those who have been down a road that maybe we haven't been on yet. We're thankful for Mike and his coming here this week. We're thankful for his great love for his family and his great love for you and the fact that he is maintaining his faith. We know that he is not perfect. We are not perfect in this life. We all need the blood of Christ to wash our sins away, and we're thankful for that grace and mercy. We pray that you continue to show us the way of escape from temptation, that you continue to put your hand upon us and keep us safe, and through everything that you lift us up, wash us clean so we can stand before you one day, white as snow, ready for the joys of heaven. Continue to bless us in every way. May everything we do this week be to your glory. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Most depressing introduction I've ever heard in my life, I tell you. Rough. I'm speaking on depression tomorrow, so it's going to be pretty rough. Hard thing. First time I did a presentation like this, and my wife was alive, and was up in Virginia, and I didn't want to present it. Of course, the ending's a little different. But it was going to be on this and our journey with ALS, and then on very terrible depression I had back in 04. And I didn't want to get it, and James called me up and said, well, I'd rather do something on Noah's Ark or creation evolution. When I told my wife, I said, I just don't want to do that. She said, well, and she's always right. It ticks me off. She said, well, it's not about what you want. It's about what's needed. And so I knew that. But we'll see what we can do here. But I'm really looking forward to the ice cream. Is it homemade? Is it homemade? Awesome. Very good. And I'm looking forward to what Blessed View is going to do on Wednesday night. And I didn't like the vibes I just felt in. You don't have anything planned to eat, do you? Yeah. So you got 2 days, though. You got 2 days. Yes, I thought we'd have fried chicken on the ground and all that. But order Sonic out or something to help out. But there's a ball game Wednesday night also, right?
Tuesday night.
Is that Tuesday night? Okay. Well, I've stayed in top shape. I may help y'all play in that.
You would.
My Olympic conditioning.
Yes, sir.
So I've known James, who is that, at good pasture, and I just, thank the world of him. And Stephen, I know it's not a competition, but he's one of the best song there's ever heard. Now, Coach Carter, Coach Ronnie Carter, was through TSAA, and that's a thankless job right there. And him letting me call him through the years to find out what we could get away with, and he was always so gracious. And he said, no, you can't do that. That meant a lot. He did it in a nice way. But I am glad to be with all you guys here tonight. My wife had me name this Hope, because we had a lot of that in the early day, and we still need to have it. So let me go to this clip. Ron is helping me with the sound. It's not going to be professional. We're having to run it through the lapel mic here. Hopefully you can pick up on it. I do have a few sound clips today. This first one will be pretty self-explanatory. Hopefully it'll work.
On May 2nd, 1939, after playing in 2,130 straight games, the Iron Horse Lou Gehrig benches himself. Lou's statistics through April are the worst of his career. He has just one RBI and a .143 batting average. 2 weeks after his benching, Gehrig is diagnosed with the fatal disease ALS and is given 3 years to live.
The news of Gehrig.
was too moved to speak.
Straight game, which is a record until Cal Ripken Jr. broke in the late 90s.
And the photographer that day got some great shots. Lou is the captain of the team. He's brought the starting lineup out to home plate. They're playing at Detroit. Detroit manager's there with the umpires. And he's just told them, handing the paper, he's not in the lineup for the first time in 2,130 games. And they are stunned. The Tiger manager, the umps, that they just can't believe it. And that's the way we were. How could this woman who was in such athletic shape here and playing with my grandkids, and she was very competitive and always had to be first, and just an epitome of health and working out constantly. She taught a workout class at our church for young moms that were trying to get back in shape after having babies, and just worked them and getting them in shape. In fact, I was in pretty good shape at the time. When she started getting sick, I put on more weight than I've ever put on my life. She ran in 4 half marathons. We were constantly hiking, going up to Redmond Lake, and she'd always get to the top, and I'd be like this down at the bottom. You know? And she would be up there like Coach Ronnie, like a coach, saying, come on, get up, and I'd just be looking up at her and think, I hope I have a heart attack, then you'll feel terrible. But she was so competitive and always pushing and pushing. And I couldn't believe the diagnosis. So we fall apart in the doctor's office. And the baby's not bothering me, let go of it. I guess I'm bothering it, I guess is what's happening. But please don't leave the baby here. Don't leave and then leave the baby here. That would be good. But we go out in the lobby after we fall apart, and unfortunately the doctors, they just don't give you hope. I'm in there asking, well, are there trials? Can we go somewhere? And they just don't give you hope because nothing's worked. And I was mad at first because I gotta have hope. But I now see why. They can't give you false hope at all. So we go into the lobby. And I've fallen apart. And the first thing she said when we came out of his office, stepped in the lobby to check out, we had our preacher, our young couple at our church, they had just had a baby that was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And sometimes those kids are not given a great forecast for a real long life. And his name's Emmett, he's doing really great. He's about 3 now. She said, first thing she said was, Emmett will never know one day of health like I got for 50. At that time, she said 52 years. I tell you, I wouldn't think about Emmett. I was thinking about facing the rest of my life without him. We had planned on not going to church that night because it was going to be late before we got home, and we really planned a celebrative dinner. I want you to think about how you keep things in perspective. We were going to celebrate with our family. If she had a tumor or cancer, anything but ALS. I was going to be happy if I heard she had cancer. Because maybe we got a chance. That night was tough because we played with the kids and just had to put on the front. It was tough. It was difficult. Through the process, to show you what this does to your body as time goes on, we met Tim Shaw. Tim was a linebacker with the Titans and captain of special teams. And this kid was a great player, academic All-American at Penn State. Now look at those arms. He was a workout freak. Look at his body. That's what it does to you. That's what it does to you. He's very inspiring. I'm going to tell this now so I don't forget it at the end. But we went over to their house. And Tim, at this time, his voice is about gone. He cannot stand without help and has no use of his arms. And I said, Tim, what do you say? And at this time, he still had a good, strong voice. I said, what do you say when people ask, how are you doing? That's one of the things I want to talk about on Tuesday night, is what to not say to people in this situation. It's, how's Lisa doing? Well, she's going downhill from ALS, you know, that's the answer. Well, I don't want to say that to people. I know people are just checking that. That's just a general way of saying we care about it, and I understand that. I said, Tim, what do you say when people ask, how are you doing? Because I'm not doing real good, and she's going downhill every day. And Tim said, I say, I'm fighting well. I said, you ought to be married to my wife. You are both incredible. And so we get this news, and we do a vacation in Blowing Rock, North Carolina with some friends, and one of our friends took that picture, and it was kind of picturesque of what we were facing, looking out in this valley, not knowing what's coming up. I now know what was going to be coming up, didn't at the time. And it wasn't too good. So I get on the internet, and I'm searching the world for something. Finally, in Thailand, in Bangkok, they're doing stem cell implants, taking umbilical cord cells from a mom that's just delivered and injecting them into the spine. And the philosophy, and it does work in some illnesses, it's worked in paralysis some, it's worked in cancer some, is that the new fresh ones will replace and build and of course, one day I'm hoping maybe reverse the damage, but at least arrest it, stop it. So that's where we're going. Well, the problem was the flight and the procedure, 2 weeks, was almost $40,000. My daughter-in-law started a GoFundMe, and my school, my church, my family, my community, and friends of my family and church and school, and people I didn't even know, raised the $40,000 in 10 days. Unbelievable. Our doctors and nurses over in Thailand, which are predominantly Buddhist, they were blown away when I told them what my friends had done for us. So we get to the airport, it's a little bit emotional. So I've got a video clip here. Lisa and I decided to document our story over our trip over there, mainly so that her friends and family, you know, I'm taking her literally on the other side of the planet to Bangkok. And so we just kind of try to turn it into a humorous trip in some way. So this is as we're waiting on the flight. Again, Ryan, you may have to help me if we can't get sound here. We'll see how it turns out here.
Well, our saga begins to Thailand. And I'm sure there'll be a reality show that will begin from this soon. We have just been informed that they are a day ahead of us, so we're going to go through some type of time warp, space-time continuum. We're going to, she's also a little emotional because she may be 60 years old when she returns and won't be able to recognize her.
So we did stuff like that. And that's out of her comfort zone. She's behind the scenes. I have attention seeking deficit disorder, and she's always behind the scenes. So she played my straight man. So we did a lot of silly, crazy stuff like that. And this is a world class facility. They're delivering babies in 1 week. When a lot of my friends heard we're going to Bangkok, I think they pictured we're going to be out where there's some, you know, cockfights, and you know, I'm placing some bets to get more, you know, better doctors or something, but it wasn't that way at all. They were just tremendous, and it was a first class place. And here we're looking out the window there, first day we got there. This is the staff, they're wonderful people. I really think they did everything they could to save her life. One of her doctors there, the young man on the left, he died a year after we came back. He had a respiratory infection, and there he was fighting to save Lisa as a young man. And the doctor, second one from the right there, I told him, I said, you know, we're not going to be bitter if this doesn't work. And I want you to know, if it does, I'm going to be sending you a lot of business. And that's what I pictured happening. I told God, I said, God, I'll just quit teaching. I will be a spokesman for ALS. I'll be a liaison, get people over there. I'll do whatever. I'll go around the country. I'll quit everything I'm doing with teaching and coaching. If this thing works, and I really thought that's what's going to happen. This is going to be a miracle. And I kept praying to God. I said, God, there's enough stories of courage. We need one of recovery. We've got all these great, you know, Lou Gehrig stories. He faced it and said, I'm the luckiest man in the world. What about everybody praising your name because she healed her? She's our educational director for the fourth grade and under our school. She's at our church and Sunday school. She is an incredible counselor. She's just one of those people that thinks about stuff behind the scenes. It's some of our nursing staff. This little girl here is saying she was our liaison. She picked us up at an airport, and we didn't know if anyone would be there. Is this a scam? I paid all this money. Is anybody going to be there? And she was great and took us in the city to do some sightseeing the following weekend. And here's one of our taxi rides here.
Hey, Sam, do y'all have Shoney's and Cracker Barrel here?
No. You're in Thailand.
So Lisa, we try to do junk like that all the time. This girl was, she called herself a Christian, probably not understanding like we do. She did not have an English Bible, and Lisa had a study Bible. And these are not set up photos. I took these as they happened, and she was showing and saying how to use it. And so she gave it to her. She gave it to her. I said, honey, you can get $35, $40 from her, y'all. That was a joke. I did not do that. Had I, she would have clawed my eyes out if I had even suggested that. These were people we met there. They were all from England. The two boys in the wheelchair had their spines severed from motorcycle and car wrecks. These guys are incredible. They, because of the money, they would leave home and stay at this facility for 1, 2, 3, sometimes 4 months. Andrew here, He even spent a couple of Christmases there trying to get for the stem cells. And his goal is to, you know, he's paralyzed from here down. There's been some improvement. You may not be crazy about tattoos. Ryan, I like Ryan's Hebrew one there. This is the coolest one I've ever seen, though. It was on Andrew. It's a wheelchair with him getting up. His goal is to get out of that wheelchair for his mom to hug her while standing up. That's his goal. I'm hoping he'll do it. Before we left, the older couple on the line, I'll show you again, they're from England also, and he had ALS, and my wife just had a way of bonding with them, so she said, let's go up to the mall, and she bought a cake that said, stay strong, and gave it to him, and this is when we gave it to him. He gets pretty emotional. He since passed. His wife, we went over to England to see him before he passed away. He was just about gone then. And then after Lisa passed, his wife came over to see us. In fact, she arrived right after Lisa died. So she was there for the funeral. And of course, that was frustrating me. And then the best I could tell about their faith, we were able to share our faith with them a lot. The best I could tell, they were lukewarm Church of England, I think. They probably got sprinkled down the building and didn't quite show up anymore. That's where I think their faith was. And they're wonderful people. They're absolutely wonderful people. And I thought maybe the timing was Sandra there, she gets to come and see a Christian funeral. A real Christian funeral. Maybe that's what happened that way. We didn't know what was coming up. Her voice kept deteriorating. This is the staff downstairs. They were physical therapists. And Lisa got an infection the last day, through no fault of theirs. She caught an infection. She could not go down for a last day of physical workout, and so they all came up to the room to close with her. These are great kids. You know, they work in this great hospital, but they live in a situation where we would probably call it inner city dwelling. You know, they're over there, that's middle class. Over here, they'd be making a real good nurse salary. And these girls, they're just, they really love Lisa. I'm convinced they did everything they could to save her. We got home and started every medication we could and all types of therapy there at the house. Eventually, after the voice went, then her swallowing went. She couldn't swallow and take in food, so they had to cut a hole in her stomach. And so we had to feed her there. And just kept going down and down, and then the voice continued to digress. This is the Tennessee tip is. And one day I said, "Hun, there's three scriptures I can't keep right now." One of them is, in everything give thanks. Do all things without grumbling. And be content with whatever situation you're in. By the way, if you ever know anyone self-righteous about their achievements before God, show them those three and say, how you doing? Doing okay with those three commandments? And I said, honey, I can't keep these three. And she typed back and said, I got news for it. There's a whole lot more than that that you can't keep. Wonderful, encouraging woman. Thank you very much. As we were going through this, some things that she wanted me to share that we've learned is that God's going to supply our needs. It's not about perfect health. That we worry too much about tomorrow. We don't know. The end of the world may come before the homemade ice cream. Hope it's at least after the homemade ice cream. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No sunrise, no moon, no magical thing can be compared with the heaven God has prepared. This verse here, this has been misused, the part about do. That verse does not mean that you can do anything you want. I mean, if I get in top shape, can I go out for the Titans this fall and make it? If I work out harder than Michael Jordan, will I ever be able to dunk from the free throw line? This verse in the Greek means I can endure. Look at that verse now. That's ridiculous. We can't do all things. The Greek means you can endure. See the meaning of it? You can endure all things through His power. Lisa, this is something that she had me read the first time that I presented this material. God made the world perfect for us. We sinned and messed up, but God still gave us a way out. So when I pray for healing and God doesn't heal, how can I be upset with the Lord? God understands we may not like the situation we're in. Even Jesus asked His Father to remove what He was facing, but the key is how He ended the prayer, not my will, but yours. As Christians, we're here to serve, but often we only want to serve on our terms. When I was diagnosed with ALS, I decided I was going to honor God through this. His Spirit has given me the strength to accept my situation. From Scripture, I know that in some way good is going to happen. Because of this, I think of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. It's hard to understand. It is hard sometimes to think about not being here with my family and friends, but I don't go there often. Heaven is where we want to be, and I'm just getting there sooner than most of you. How can I be sad about that? We all face challenges. If we trust God and surrender ourselves, He'll do the right thing whether we understand or not. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. She would always say that over and over. Have faith and use your life to bring glory to God regardless of how things look. And she did that. This girl did that to the very end. And ALS doesn't end pleasantly because you're totally paralyzed at the end. The lungs eventually shut down. When Jesus healed the blind man, they asked, what's the deal? Why was he born that way? And they said, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And that's what her and Tim had done through this. And you know, the day that Lou had to step down, again, the photographer caught this picture. Now, this is Babe Dahlgren that Lou's got his arm around. Babe is the player that's going to replace Lou at first base. Babe is heartbroken. He doesn't want to replace Lou Gehrig. And the photographer called Lou comforting him. That's why he's my all-time favorite baseball player. And that's the way Lisa was. Instead of us comforting her, she comforted us. She always said, it's not about me. It's about God. And God's our refuge. This Friday will be a year since she died. The basketball season prior to that, she was going downhill, no voice, couldn't eat, could not eat. We didn't go out to eat anymore. People didn't have us over to eat anymore. She couldn't eat. I'm not going to go out to eat if she can't eat. And every year, she would always fix my team a big meal at the end. Well, that particular year, we were 1-17. That's my last year to coach. My wife has got ALS, so I'm thinking this is going to be a Disney ending, a Hallmark. My wife is dying, and so we'll go out winning the state championship. We were 1-17 in the district, Coach Ronnie. 1-17. And I said, "Hun, they don't deserve the meal." And she said, "They're getting the meal." Her and her friend, they cooked a feast for these kids. Did I mention they were 1-17? And she would not have any of it other than doing that. And she kept playing with the kids in her wheelchair. If she's going to die July 12th, we're at Pasco in the middle of June right there. She can't talk, but I'm speaking up there, and our grandkids are with us. And there's a family at our church that the little boys were close to us, but you know, little kids don't have tact. And he said to Mason there, he said, "Your granny's going to die soon." And when I heard that, I wanted to go grab my belt and whip him into next week and make sure he doesn't get a Christmas. And when my wife heard it, through her voice app, she just said, "He just doesn't want to lose somebody else he loves because his grandfather just got killed." He was a T-Dot worker that got run over about 3 years ago. Remember that? And Mason said back to her, said, "No, she's not. She's going to live 1,000 years. This is where she was when it was all over, wearing an oxygen mask because she couldn't breathe. This is the day before she died. And that last day, she was 99% paralyzed. She can't tell us what to do. She has to wear, but they didn't tell us this in ALS, she's got to wear diapers because you lose bladder and bowel control. And she was hurting so much from the, and I don't understand why the pain there when your nerves are dead, but we would ask her, "Do you want us to change you?" And she said, she nodded no, because she would rather lay in her own, you know, waste because it hurt so much to change her. And so, last 10 minutes of her life, her eyes glazed over, and I could tell it was happening. And her 20-year-old niece was our nurse, and we knew it was going down. Here it goes. And so she started, she got her iPhone and played it as well with my soul. And the whole time for the last 10 minutes, I'm just crying. I'm not screaming, I'm just talking to her real loud, saying, "Honey, if you can hear me, I love you, I love you. I wish you could stay. It's okay, go on, don't try to fight, go on, go on." And I don't know if she could hear me or not. My niece kept saying, "Keep talking, keep talking, keep talking" to her. And so I did. And then I could tell the second she died. You know, sometimes you hear about these people when they die, we bring them back on the operating table, you know, and they say they could look down and see the room. And so I just saw her kind of going up in my mind, and I thought, well, if she is going up, and I said, "Hon, if you can see me, bye, I love you." And I don't know if she could or not, but I picture this as soon as she closed her eye. And my grandkids, when I took them a week later for a vacation Bible school, they were riding with me, and they were talking about their granny. And I said, "Granny's probably having a lot of fun right now." And Mason said, "I bet she can fly." And Maddie said, "Granny's walking and talking without that." She called it, she was 4 at the time. She said, "Granny's walking without that stinking wheelchair." And Mason said, "Pop, I bet she's playing football and they can't tackle her." He said, "I bet she can jump from one goal line to the other." That was his picture of heaven. You can't be tackled. And my grandkids have an incredible faith. It's a child, but that's the faith we're supposed to have. But this is her. She kept a garden. They played in that garden. She loved gardening, and so did they because of her. And Maddie said she's cooking and getting the garden ready for us. Mason said she can snap her fingers and the plants grow up immediately. I mean, they're just saying, I'm just trying not to cry. They're shredding my heart in a sweet way, you know. But I know God's going to wipe away all the tears. But what I was going to tell you a while ago, I'm really struggling. Please don't look at me as somebody with great faith. I'm it's killing me right now. This is right before she died. That's her wedding rings. And I don't wear it now, but it's on the rearview mirror of my truck. Because we're not going to be married in heaven. And that's killing me. And if you hadn't heard about that in Matthew, see, I'm not going to change my theology because of a tragedy. Please hear me say that again. Don't change your theology because of tragedies. And that's why James wants us to do this. At the resurrection, we're not married. Now, that is killing me right now. I know it's not bothering her, and it won't bother me on the other side, but it does now. I mean, it shreds me daily. And I don't know how it works up there. We had a prayer with my grandkids the other day. I said, tell Granny we miss her. And I don't know if God says, hey, Lisa, Mike said hi. And she goes, okay, got two flies off. And kind of hurts my feelings to think about. But she's fine, and I will be when I get over there. And it bothers me here that we won't have that same relationship. But again, I didn't come up with this. Don't let what you don't understand about God ruin what you do understand. I don't get this. I don't get how tonight some people are going to get drunk, beat their wife, cuss their kids, get drunk, smoke all night long, and they're going to live to 80. And she was in perfect health, helping everybody in the world, and goes out at 54. I don't get that. There are verses I don't understand anymore. I don't understand what it means when it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Whatever you ask in my name. I don't know, but I know this. You know this. If I could heal Lisa, would I have? Yeah. Does God love Lisa more than me? Some of you are afraid of that. Yes. Some of you don't want to hurt his feelings there. Yes, God loves Lisa more than I love Lisa. Could God heal her? Yeah. I don't get that, but I'm not going to let that ruin everything in the Bible. I believe every word of the Bible, and I know it's going to be okay. I don't like it right now, and I'm struggling. It's tough, but I heard one man say, as long as you're limping, you're moving forward. I'm not sprinting. I'm not even walking. I'm just limping, and every single moment, every single day is pretty hard. And you asked me to come out and talk on this makes it even tougher, so you ought to feel bad about that. Maybe Wednesday night homemade ice cream again would help heal the wound that's here. So anyway, I think that's all I got. Let me say this, and then we'll stop. I don't know if Lou's a Christian. I hope he's up there with God. I hope my wife's met him. And I pictured Lisa saying, my husband really wants to meet you real bad. Because I do. He's my favorite baseball player. And I hope he's up there too. I hope some of this has been helpful to you. Tomorrow night as we continue our depressing lessons, I'm going to be talking on depression, which I had in 04. Just to give you a little hint here. My depression was more difficult than this past 2 years. I didn't have any hope. So if you've dealt with it, you know somebody, or you're going to, I hope we'll have some things there for you that'll help out. We have invitations. I'm going to fast forward through these slides right here. I'm sorry, I forgot to try to block all of these out. There's a whole sermon right here. Let me get through it fast. And for our, that looks good. Okay. All right, so you saw the sermon. There it was. Okay, that was the invitation, which you just saw. So if we can, we're saved by grace through faith at baptism. If you haven't claimed that, we hope you'll do it right now, and we'll stand here and sing.